But no further questioning, as you're saying, creates or changes his confidence or creates any doubt. It continues, as we said, to solidify the man's faith and confidence in the Lord. Again, it reminds us of what was said earlier about the matter of the witness and the lawyer. And Brother John, you were just touching on this matter of the essence of the glad tidings. And I think that we can't just skirt that so quickly, because very often in the glad tidings, too much of the individual's experience comes to the surface. And my history as to what has been done for me, as to what has been done miraculously in the lives of others. Granted, those are good things. But I think we have to emphasize, based on what we have before us, is that the glad tidings has one subject. And it's Christ and Christ alone. And that's what you get in Romans. Because when Romans opens up the glad tidings to us, it says it's concerning his son. And this man is progressively gaining on things here. Because he knows that there is no other subject matter greater than the subject matter of the man who opened his eyes. So that he progresses. A man, a prophet, and later on, hopefully soon, we're going to see he's the son of God, and the man becomes a worshiper.
And I just mentioned that the other side of presenting the glad tidings is that you may be cast up. Yeah. That if I present the man, as you mentioned, David, that the results may be just that, you're cast up. But then how good it is, if we want to move on in the next 10 minutes, what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ found him. And then we find that he starts to worship. Higher order of things. It's not just, you know, I don't think we learn worship so much, but it is what we do as a result of what has been done in us. And so we find that the man is cast out, and it is all because of his testimony. All because of his teaching concerning that central man. And so they say, look, we don't want you. Now, if he was speaking about himself, like the man who says, Lord, you know, I give so much to the poor, and I do this, and I am a good man, and what have you. Here, and the beggar doesn't say, no, Lord, you have saved me, and Lord, I can see now, I can see. He doesn't even say that. Most times we would say, Lord, I can see, thank you for my sight. Doesn't say that. He's still meditating and still presenting this man. The results he's cast out. But I like the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ heard it, he found it, found him, and therefore the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are cast out, oh, how he can, I guess he would really solidify, we're using that word, the security that we have. He's going to find him and he's going to worship. And there we can have full thoughts on this one.
I think we can say that this man, in a very brief time, learned the important lesson that the servant is not greater than the master. Mm-hmm. As the Lord Jesus said himself, if they cast me out, as we saw in the prior chapter, they're going to cast him out as well. But as we've been saying, how wonderful to see that the Lord hears of this and immediately comes and really encourages his faith to say, I'm calling you to something greater.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall nowise cast out. So the Lord won't cast us out, would he? That's security.
But they cast him out. But where did they cast him? Right into the arms of the Lord Jesus. So there he was to receive him. But the truth of the development that takes place in the man's soul is wonderful. He is now learning not so much the thoughts of the works or the miracles, but he's now learning of the person. Who is he? He gets the great sense of him as the Son of God. And I think that we must appreciate that this is the essence of worship. Worship is not praise. It's not thanksgiving. It's not lauding. Those have their particular settings. But worship has to do with an evaluation, an assessment of the greatness of the person. And this is the point to which this man gets very quickly.
That's interesting, Brother Dave, that when Christ comes to him, he doesn't tell him, I am the one who opened your eyes. He says, believest thou the Son of God?
Yes.
And he desires to present this person. And this is what this man came into knowledge. You can say it briefly, a man called Jesus. He came into the humanity of Christ. He was a prophet, the ministry of Christ, the word of God, and now he's coming into the deity of Christ. And what a wonderful thing that, and Jesus said unto him, thou both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. So what was the purpose behind it? Christ Jesus desired for this man to be able to see him. But it doesn't stop there, dear brethren. There's someone that talks with us along the way, and it is him that talketh with thee. How does the Lord Jesus talk to us, dear brethren? I mean, we have heard earlier we're not going to see him physically right now. He's going to talk to us, yes, eternally. But right now, well, the word of God is really the words of Christ that talketh with us.
We have talked about the progress of that blind man. We have talked about his appreciation, the greater appreciation he gets to Christ. He's a man, he's a prophet, now he realizes he's the Son of God. But to top all of that, he said, who is the Lord? So he comes under the Lordship of Christ. Not only that he is a Savior, the one who gives me sight, he's a prophet, he's greater than Moses. No, he is my Lord. He acknowledges Lord, and he maintained his rights upon him. And that is, again, the most wonderful development in the life of the believer, when the Lordship of Christ takes hold of him, and he acknowledges the rights of Christ in his life.
Just a quick thought on casting out. You know, he's cast out of the synagogue. He's cast out of natural religious system that he's cast to. He leaves a formal system and he moves to a person. The system, the world, offers thrills, offers happiness, offers pleasures. But when you fellowship with a person, in his presence is fullness of joy. And there's much to be learned from the casting out. In a natural state, too much loss as we look at it by sight. But as we walk by faith, there's joy in his presence.
To be cast out was really for his blessing. And that's the point, especially for young people, when, you know, we often want to be part of, and the parents wanted to be part of. They didn't want to be cast out. That was their reason for not standing up for him. And, you know, we need to not fear being cast out by this world. It's a blessing. A blessing for this man. Like it was said, he was cast out into the hands of the Lord. And that's the place to be.
And this really grounded his heart in the Lord. He really became a believer. John's gospel, he said before, you're a believer, you're an unbeliever. This man became a believer. He's like the Apostle Paul, who could say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This was just so firm in his mind. And the result is now he worships that one who did this for him.
Now, Emil, you just made mention of lordship. Would you say that this is the pivotal point in the experience of a believer? And it's a point that must be reached quickly. Or else, if we don't get to that point quickly, there will be defective Christian experiences. Would you say that's what you have in mind?
It is in this world, the ultimate thing is this, is that no, the disciple is not greater than his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his master. His master was casted out in the end of chapter 8. He was thrown out. And here is a disciple who is following in the footsteps of his master. Discipleship is not, and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, is not a cheap thing, an easy thing. It's a hard thing. You read that in the Gospel of Luke. What is the cost of discipleship? It costs a lot. But this man found his comfort in being outside. Where do you want it to be? Do you want to be in the synagogue where the Lord Jesus is, where there's all of the comfort? Or do you want to be outside? Because really what makes life comfortable is not the circumstances of it, is if the Lord is in it or not.
So let's go unto him outside the camp, might be applied. But it's amazing, after this man coming into all these things we have heard about the worship. And I want to say a quick word about worship. Most of the time in the scripture, when there are individuals that worship, we never hear or read of any words that they have uttered. It's like really the Queen of Sheba, when she came and saw the greatness of Solomon, the scripture says there was no more spirit in her. And dear brethren, this is also an exhortation for the sisters. Sometimes they might, you know what, you in a public meeting, you're not expressing your own thoughts or what the Lord has burdened or laid on your heart in a public way. But nevertheless, most of the people that worship in the scripture, they worship quietly. and Christ had great delight from it. And just a word of exhortation, that most of the worship in the scripture was done quietly at the feet of his brother.
In 201.